Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast, a post-draft episode here for you all. Today we have on Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, because when I thought about who would be a good guest to have on to talk about all of the additions the Bengals made last weekend, none better than Lou, because the Bengals added a lot of defensive players over the weekend, and I know they're super excited about some of these guys coming in and playing a significant role with this defense next year. So here's my conversation with Lou Anarumo, and he also answered... He was kind enough to answer several fan-submitted questions from Twitter, so stay tuned all the way to the end of the episode to see if your question was answered by Lou. And now joining me on Bengals Beat Podcast is the Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, and I'm super excited to talk to him, and this is also the first time he's joining us on this podcast, so we're super excited that you gave us some of your time. We know you're a very busy man, so thank you so much for joining me, and I'm excited to talk about the draft class that you guys just got, because we saw a lot of you on draft weekend.
Yeah, it was exciting. First of all, happy to be here, never too busy for you guys. Just let me know, and we can work it out, but yeah, it was a great weekend. Added, as we all saw, some depth at really all positions, and added some speed, as everybody's been mentioning, as we see, and some help up front, and we got some quality free agents too, undrafted free agents, so we feel good about it.
So I'll let the listeners in on a little secret of what happened this weekend, draft weekend. So for those who don't know how draft weekend works, is the media is there all weekend, as are the coaches and scouts. We're in different rooms, but in the same building. The media is in the media room, and the Bengals are nice enough to let the media eat in the cafeteria on draft weekend. And I don't think anybody was thinking that you guys would draft an offensive player. I think there was a little bit of buzz maybe that you could take Tyler Linderbaum if he was available, but I think for the most part, everyone predicted a defensive player. Mm-hmm. And we walk into the cafeteria, and one of the first coaches we all saw, it was me and a couple media members sitting at a table, was Brian Callahan. And he was wearing like a hoodie and jeans. And we're like, huh, like maybe he'll go change, or I don't really know how things work here at the Bengals if everybody has to be that dressed up. And then about like 10 minutes later, Lou walks in with like a suit and a nice jacket and a nice top. And none of us really thought anything of it. And then the next day comes around, and it's a similar situation where we see Brian in another hoodie and you dressed up. And finally, about halfway through day two, we're like, wait a minute. How did we miss that major Easter egg? We should have just known that, because Brian Callahan was dressed in a hoodie and jeans and you were dressed up, that meant you were going to be drafting a lot of defensive players. So you were more dressed up because you had to be in the draft room and then doing press conferences. I feel like we totally missed it.
You guys might've missed that one, but it was just the odds were leaning that way, but it could have been Callie, and that would have been Callie's a well-dressed guy normally. So I think he was rolling the dice. But no, we kind of teed it up for you guys, and you missed it.
Yeah. So next year, maybe you guys will both be in hoodies, or maybe you'll be dressed up.
Yeah. We're not going to make it that easy next year for sure.
Yeah. Because now we're going to be on the lookout for it. So let's talk about each draft pick. Cause as you mentioned, you got a lot this weekend. So Dax Hill, I know he was a player that you guys were really excited that he was still there. Mel Kiper had him listed as the number two ranked safety he had on his board, a top 15 prospect. Can you walk us through the process of when you first watched Dax's tape? Did you go to Michigan Pro Day? Like, when did you kind of start focusing on Dax? And then can you walk us through the process of on Thursday night, draft night, when some of these guys are coming off the board, when you guys realized, all right, we actually might have a shot at acquiring Dax?
Well, you're always ready, and Duke and his crew do a great job of kind of prepping us all on, hey, these are the scenarios. These are the guys that we think might be still there. And it kind of played out that way this year. There was a group of guys, and then all of a sudden they start going fast. But in regards to Dax, you know, he was one of the first guys I watched because I knew I thought he would be in play in that area for where we were picking. So I got to study him early. And I said it in my press conference was, you know, I love his flexibility and all the things that he brings and all the things that he does. Guy plays nickel, plays safety, can do a bunch of different things. And, you know, then, oh, by the way, he goes out and runs as fast as he did, as tall as he is, as long as he is, and all those other things. Good blitzer. So, you know, just can't wait for him to get here and get going, you know, next week, which is going to be great. We're able to Zoom with the rookies now, but we get them in person next week. And the sooner the better, you know, can't wait to get those guys here. But he jumped off the tape with all the different things that he can do.
When you are describing him, it sounds like, I know he's a safety and you guys are going to play him at safety, or honestly, you could name him positionless. But when you talk about some of the things that he does well, I'm listening to you and it kind of sounds like he resembles Mike Hilton a little bit too. Is that right, with his like ability to blitz and kind of be that player, or is he more of a safety in your defense instead of like a nickel corner?
Definitely more of a safety. You know, Mike is Mike, and Mike has a great role for us. I don't see, you know, Dax, you know, God forbid there was an injury, but other than that, like, Mike's obviously going to have that role, but I think it just, everything else he could do is what really opened up our eyes in the process that, you know, first day he's back there with the safeties, but then we're moving him around at dime and, you know, all these other places, because, you know, we're going to, not only do we have to cover good tight ends, we got to cover good backs out of the backfield. And you'd rather have a safety type body doing that rather than linebackers. So, you know, not, and we're fortunate. We have good cover linebackers now with Akeem back, Logan, you know, Jermaine certainly held his own last year in those areas. So, you know, this guy just adds another level of, all right, they're spreading the field. We can put another bigger guy out there to cover as well as be a good tackler and blitzer. And it's always so important to stay somewhat big on those early downs. You don't want to just get little and have all corners out there. You want to have some guys that have some physical strength to cover people as well as defend the run. So he adds all that to it.
When you talk about his ability to maybe defend tight ends, do you guys view that kind of being his role? Like, I know you guys re-signed Trey Flowers and that was a big part of his role. And I know you've said that you thought he did a great job kind of given the circumstance that he was in joining the team mid-season. Are we going to see Dax kind of take over in that role of defending tight ends?
I think that Trey for sure still in my mind is invaluable in that role. So Trey will have his role, but we can do some other things with Dax where, again, maybe they're both on the field at the same time, you know, and we're doing different things like that. So, you know, we'll mix that part of it up, but Trey will have his role. Dax will have his, and there'll be some overlap for sure. Dax is definitely going to cover tight ends, definitely cover backs, blitz, all those things. But, you know, Trey was an integral part to getting to where we got last year, and he will be the same this year.
All right. So let's move on to your second round pick. You guys went back to back on defensive players and defensive backs, selecting Cam Taylor Britt out of Nebraska. What did you like about Cam that made you guys want to take him in the second round? Because for the most part, I know each organization is different, but for the most part, I feel like rounds 1 through 3, organizations take those picks and expect them to be starters for the most part.
Well, I mean, I think we've got our group of, you know, we can trot out, other than, you know, when Larry got hurt, you know, before the playoffs, you know, we can trot out the same 11 we started in Tennessee and Kansas City and in the Super Bowl. We can trot the same 11 guys out there. So you never, in my mind, you never have enough corners and rushers ever. So, you know, we needed to get younger at corner. We needed to add depth at corner. So it was a no-brainer for me. And then his playing time will be determined by him. You know, he'll come in and see how much he can handle and do. And but you know, I'm just excited to add a player that has that kind of physical abilities and doesn't have to be rushed to get on the field because of a need. He is going to play his way on there.
Of all of Cam's traits, which one is the one that excites you the most about potentially what he can be in your defense?
Yeah, I just think his size, he's competitive. But to me, it's the speed and the length. You know, I say all the time in our draft meetings that these corners are going to get in trouble. The receivers are too good these days. They're going to get out of position. And can they recover? And can they get back in position? And if you don't have speed and you don't have length, arm length, I'm talking about, then you can't recover and get back into a play. So he has both. So even if he's out of position, don't, you know, never give up on the play. And he's got a chance to get the ball out. And at the end of the day, as long as the ball's on the, you know, the receiver doesn't catch it, that's, he did his job.
You guys think about taking an edge or interior defensive line in the second round?
I think it was everything was in the conversation. It was just a matter of who we had where, and Cam was available, and we were excited about that. So we jumped all over it.
Okay. So let's move on. I kind of teed you up there. Zach Carter out of Florida, kind of a surprise, I think, for a lot of people, because they didn't know his name as well. But I know you guys are excited about what he can be. And I know him going to Florida and playing the SEC is a big deal because the level of play that he saw. Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys like about Zach Carter and the role that he'll play in your defense?
Yeah, for sure. So again, you mentioned it, right? So he played in the SEC, had over 17 sacks in his career, both inside, outside. You know, the guy's almost 290 pounds already. So he's shown that he can play a number of spots inside, three technique, five technique, rushing, interior, and then also be on the edge and making some plays. So again, the word that I like to use is flexibility, and he provides that. He's not just a one position guy. We can move him around. He's got length. He can rush. There's people I trust down in Florida that spoke highly of him. And again, you know, Duke and Potts and those guys done a great job evaluating. So we were happy to get him for sure.
Well, fourth round, you got a break. They took an offensive lineman, so you got a little chance to breathe. Then you guys,
I have my hoodie on.
Yeah, we missed that again, but then you guys were right back into things, and you took another safety in Tyson Anderson out of Toledo. I know that there was some background there because your safeties coach ran his pro day. He let us know. So you got eyes on the ground there, but what about Tyson Anderson excites you, and how did you guys find him, knowing it's a smaller school? How did he kind of move up the ranks to be someone that you evaluated?
Well, again, so you go height, weight, speed immediately, right? Another guy that ran sub 4.4, tall, long, 33-inch arms, you know. And oh, by the way, high school valedictorian, two-time captain, I believe, at Toledo.
He told us it was three.
Excuse me, three-time captain.
Cheat him out of a year.
No, I won't. I should know that. But I was more impressed with the valedictorian. But yes, three-time captain is pretty damn awesome as well. But so you got a guy with leadership traits. He's smart. He can communicate. He can run fast. He's physical. So again, you get a young safety to develop behind Jesse and Vaughn. And, you know, that's what this game is. I knock on wood, I hope no one gets hurt. I hope no one gets hurt. But our league these days, you know, we started last December 23rd and we didn't finish till February 14th. I'm sorry, July 23rd and didn't finish till February 14th. So, like, it's a long process. And odds are someone is going to get hurt. And, you know, we want to start to get younger back there. And that's what we did.
And then you rounded the class out with another defensive player, because why not at this point, right? Jeffrey Gunter, edge out of Coastal Carolina. I will say that Zach Taylor called him a DPR in his press conference. And I remember hearing that. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and then someone
followed up and was like, does DPR stand for defensive pass rush? So what about Gunter do you guys like, and where does he fit in that edge group that I know you guys are super excited about?
Yeah. So it's designated pass rushing. Okay.
So
think about it that way, right? A DPR. So a guy that, you know, has a role early, had a ton of sacks production in college, size, length, all that stuff again that we like, ran fast for his position. And we just felt like at that point in the draft, you know, we're not going to, you know, we felt like somebody's about to take this guy. And, you know, we love the traits that he had. And, you know, again, what I say, can never have enough corners and rushers. So let's add another guy, you know, and so we're happy to have him too.
In your experience, what position takes longer? I know each player is different. Yeah. Which position takes longer in terms of the jump from college to NFL, rusher or corner?
Well, you know, it's a good question. You know, the physical part for the guys up front, sometimes they can get overwhelmed. Generally speaking, if they're usually ready to go, but they, you know, in college, they're going against 19, 20, 21 year olds. Well, you know, they could be lining up across from Trent Williams, and he's, you know, but however old Trent is, but he's a, as they like to say, he is a grown man. I'll leave the middle world out, but, and it's different, you know, so it takes them a minute to see how physical these old linemen are in this league. So sometimes, so it's a little bit different, right? It can translate both ways where it's a little bit difficult. Rushers can make an impact if they can rush early because the numbers show it. So even, you know, you may get 8 or 9 sacks as a rookie and give up a ton of run production because you're not strength wise ready to do it. I can give you an example with a corner. You know, I had Xavier Howard his first 2 years, and like you would say, you know, after X's first year, okay, who's Xavier Howard? After his second year, who's Xavier Howard really? You know, ended up having 4 interceptions his rookie year. We had 2 on Monday Night Football against Tom Brady. So that was about where he started to take off. Mm-hmm. So it takes all of them some time. They're never going to, it's very rare that they're an immediate hit. For different reasons, it takes them each maybe a little bit longer. You know, at corner and up front, one being getting used to the speed of the game at corner, the other, the physical traits up front, if that answers your question.
Yeah. That's always an interesting debate, because the corner's so hard to play. And Zach Taylor always says, you know, he thinks it's the hardest position on the field. And obviously you guys are facing some top flight receivers, especially in the AFC. But then when you think about, like you mentioned, some of these offensive linemen that some of these pass rushers have to go up against, they're, you know, grown men that have been in the league for a long time that have seen everything. So I was just curious to see if there was maybe one position that's consistently, you've seen take a little bit longer, but you brought up some really valid points. So now let's move on from the draft guys and talk about some of the guys that I know you're super excited about that are back in the building, because you guys started off season program on Monday, which is crazy because I don't know where time is going that we're back here.
Me either. Well, you know, but it's going to be July again, and here we go.
But I know. But I wanted to ask you, when you went back and you kind of thought about the whole season and the run that you guys made, was there one position or player that when you kind of entered in training camp, you thought, okay, I'm not sure how this group will play out, or this might be one of our weaker positions? Is there a player or a position that ended up being a big reason as to why you guys were able to have success, because they played so well, that maybe all of us who watch the game but don't know your scheme ins and outs and what the player assignments exactly are, that you could let us know about, that really maybe would have exceeded expectations?
Well, I think, again, I think it's a good question. The way I would answer that would be kind of because we had so many different pieces coming from different places, and there was some new guys, whether it be rookies being inserted, or just look at the back end, right? Eli, we were counting on Trey Waynes. That didn't work out. So Eli gets inserted, really Trey didn't do anything the year before. So he was really new. Mike Hilton, Cheeto, feeling their way through things. And, you know, Trey up front, Trey Hendrickson, Larry and BJ. I just think it was overall how fast, and we didn't have a full OTA. We had full offseason. We had more than we had the year before, which was zero. So it was better than nothing. But I just think how fast the whole group came together is what surprised me the most. And we got off to a fast start, like, you know, played really well, against Minnesota in a really, really good run attack. You go up to Chicago and give up 200 total yards. I think Pittsburgh from there? Mm-hmm. Played really well there. Who do we have next? Jacksonville on Thursday night, slow start, but then really shut them down in the second half. And Green Bay was a great game. So once we got our footing, they were still ironing out the kinks in their own mind. I just think the way they all came together, front, the linebackers were stable because they had been there. And they did a great job taking a step forward, which really helped in the long run. And then the back end, being cohesive as fast as they were. So really more the whole group more than anything.
Is there any specific couple of players that you're really excited about for this upcoming season, whether that being year one players to year two or other kind of veteran players that you feel like now that they have more experience in your system, who are some players that you're excited to see develop here in the off season and into next year?
So I want to see Joseph Osai go out there and play football. And I know
I think a lot of Bengals fans feel the same way.
I think that nobody outside of us and nobody more than Joseph wants to do that. Trust me. I would walk by him every day and be like, you're missing all the fun and just breaking his chops a little bit. And he wanted to be out there so bad. So I think, with the injuries behind him and now getting a chance to just pick up kind of where he left off really, from training camp going all the way back to that. And the first preseason game where he played so well against Tampa. It was funny. I was talking to Byron Leftwich. It was last night or the night before. Byron and I go way back to Marshall days where he was getting carried down the field and I was on the sideline. I was coaching at Marshall at the time. But we were talking. And he goes, when we played you guys that first preseason game, we knew we were saying to ourselves, well, these guys are going to be pretty good, because, and then you had the one guy that didn't even play and sacked Tom. And I was like, yeah, we're anxious to get him back, blah, blah, blah. So, I'm really anxious to see Joseph out there and, the young guys that didn't get a chance, like Wyatt Hubert, because of injury, didn't get a chance. We'll see him in training camp here in the OTAs. And then certainly the rookies. We'll go from there and see how it goes.
How much did Trey Hendrickson exceed your expectations?
We had high hopes. So I never set the bar too low for him because I was one of the ones that was like, give this guy a full snap count every game and he's going to be whatever he wants to be. And that's kind of how it played out. I think a lot of us in this building felt that way. And it played out that way. And he's such a prideful guy. We love Trey, and everything about him, everything, how he goes about his business. But I mean, you talk about an impactful guy. I don't know who's got more sacks than him in the last 2 years, but it's not a lot of people. So,
and it's crazy because I was happy to see him get the Pro Bowl nod this year, but for whatever reason, it still seems like he's so underrated. When people talk about pass rushers, they talk about the Bosas, they talk about Aaron Donald, they talk about TJ Watt, but for whatever reason, Trey Hendrickson isn't a name that typically when you talk about the top edge rushers comes to mind. And I think that'll change.
It will. Sometimes it takes time, like with the Pro Bowl stuff. I've been through that with other players that I've coached. They've had great years. again, I'll go back to Miami, use Rashad Jones as an instance. Rashad 1 year had over 100 tackles, 5 interceptions, couple sacks, and didn't make the Pro Bowl. Well, because we weren't winning at the time. Then we go to the playoffs the next year. He has similar numbers and he's a, Pro Bowler. It takes time. Trey now has done it in consecutive years. And now he's on a Super Bowl team, team that went to the Super Bowl, I should say. And I think if let him keep sleeping on him, that's fine with me. Yeah. I want him too.
He seems like the type of guy that it doesn't really matter to him what other people think. And those are always, always the guys that end up being extremely successful. You brought up the Super Bowl and I did want to ask, how many times have you watched it?
Well, I came in and I kind of ripped the Band-Aid or the scab off, whatever the term is, saying is, immediately, like right when we got back, I just watched it. And, so I got even more depressed watching it then. And then ever since then, it's a play here or a play there. And it just shows you, like in my first meeting with the defense back on Monday, I said, some of the things that we're going to talk about here in April, we called in the Super Bowl. Some of the same defenses that we called last April, we played again in the Super Bowl. And so when we're going through these meetings, pay attention to detail. And I actually showed them one play and it's like, look how close we are here, that could be the difference in winning and losing a championship. And, it's not easy. It was a great year in so many ways. Just as I told them, I said, we rolled the boulder up to the top of the mountain. We just didn't get it pushed over the edge. Now it's all the way back at the bottom. And now we got to push it all the way back up again. That's just the way this league is.
I just have a couple more thoughts before I get to the questions submitted on Twitter by our listeners. But I don't know if you saw what Logan Wilson said, sticking on the topic of the Super Bowl. We got to speak with Logan Wilson 2 days ago, and he was asked his thoughts on the penalty that was obviously a big play in the Super Bowl. But he gave an answer that I thought is just outstanding for any person that's younger in the sport or anyone, just about how to deal with adversity or when things don't go your way. Is he just basically said, there's nothing I can do about it. And he said, it's out of my control. So I don't worry about it. And he said, when he went back to Wyoming, his home, he said that like younger guys would come up to him and be like, why didn't you challenge it? And he's like, buddy, I can't challenge it. I would have loved to challenge it. And then he said something, I feel some type of way about it. I thought I played it perfectly technique wise, but he said, you also have to think about how difficult that is for the refs. They're trying to make a split second decision. And I just thought like that was such a mature, respectful response to someone, to a play that was such a big deal. I mean, I just think it speaks volumes to who Logan Wilson is.
No, there's no doubt that's who he is. 100%. I would have liked to have seen us get to 4th and 8. For the game, for the Super Bowl. but we didn't. And that's just how it goes. So I'm sure the Chiefs are saying the same thing with the first game here, like, right, all those penalties they had. But it is what it is. It's part of our game. And, we just move forward at this point.
So I want to talk about the AFC North.
Okay.
Your thoughts on all of the quarterback change in the division. Obviously, the Browns now have a new guy pulling the trigger in Deshaun Watson, and then the Steelers. It could be Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. What have your thoughts been about the quarterback transition in your division?
Well, you're going to get a healthy Lamar. Mm-hmm. Start with that. Deshaun is one of the better quarterbacks in our league, obviously, and he's well rested. And then, as you mentioned, the dynamic of Trubisky and the rookie, with Trubisky, and then put him in. You got three mobile guys there, so adding all that speed that we did in the draft. We're going to be chasing these guys around, and they are elite. And we just got to make sure we have as much speed on the field as possible, because they're not going to make it easy on us. So it's always been a great division, always, you know, it's not going to change. You know, these guys are just tremendous players.
Yeah, I got to say, I did not think Cleveland was going to land Deshaun Watson. That was a shocker for me. And I think that those are going to make for some fun Battle of Ohio matchups for you guys for the next couple of years. The last question I had for you before I get to the Q&A is about Eli Apple. Mm-hmm. I know you guys are super happy with the way Eli Apple came in and played last year. Does he enter the season as your top corner to play opposite of Cheeto? Did you feel like maybe people don't realize just how good Eli Apple actually was? Because, you know, you see some of the plays that he gives up. But again, it's one of the most difficult positions to play. And Cooper Kupp will make anyone look like they might have a bad day. He's that good. So just give us kind of some intel on Eli Apple's first year for you guys and what you expect from Eli in the upcoming season.
Yeah, well, he's a big part of why we got to the Super Bowl for sure. You know, I expect him to come back and be even better this year than he was last year, and be even more consistent this year than last year. And that's something that we talk about all our guys about. Listen, corners are going to give up plays. We don't want them to give up any. But the way the league is these days and how good teams throw the football, you know, it's a part of it. We're not excusing any of it, but we know the things we have to get better at, him, all of us, you know. And I'm anxious. He's back working hard right now. He's down there today with him, and he'll be better this year for sure. And again, he's coming off a good year in my eyes, so I'm happy with him.
Well, I think as you mentioned, just another year with you, like, he was just kind of thrown into things. He wasn't entering the season thinking he was going to be the starter. And then he assumed the role when Trey got hurt. And I know you guys were super happy with the production you got from him. All right. So I'm going to move on to some rapid fire questions submitted by Bengals fans on Twitter. So we know we only have you for a couple more minutes. So I'll try and whip through them. Which group — this is submitted from Joe Moore — which group on the defense do you see with the highest ceiling?
I like the group of secondary guys, so we'll see how it goes.
From Cincy Bad Boys 75, who are you projecting to take Larry O's role besides BJ?
It's going to be big shoes to fill. You know, Larry did such a great job for us last year, but, you know, we'll have a number of guys that roll through. You know, we're expecting big things from Tyler Shelvin this year. Certainly Zach Carter that we drafted. So we'll see.
From David Wade, if you were a pro wrestler, what would your name be?
I'm going to let you guys figure that one out. I have no idea.
Governor Chief, which camp battles are you most excited about?
Yeah, the guy — always to me, always the guys up front. So just as you said, like, who's going to take that spot, you know, and who's going to step in and in the interior and go back to, you know, Cam, Sample, Joseph, and the new guy, Zach, and see how they all play out. I'm looking forward to those guys up front.
With the quarterback talent upgrade in the AFC, how are you going to make changes to an ever evolving league to stay on top?
Well, we always, we look at it more like a weekly kind of game plan thing, and each team brings a different set of challenges. So, but yeah, just, we've added speed back there, and I think that always helps. So ways to get more DBs on the field and use their talents as best of their abilities.
What player in the draft surprised you the most that was available when you were picking in any round?
I guess I would say Dax, just because in my heart I thought he was going to be there, but I kind of didn't. And then and when he was, I was really excited. So I thought somebody would grab him before us.
Can you give an update on the progress of Joseph Osai and Hubert and what he envisions for them in the 2022 season?
Yeah, I mean, just, they're doing great. And, you know, looking forward to both those guys being full go when we start up for sure.
Is the plan to work Cam Taylor Britt on the outside where Trey Waynes was supposed to be?
Yeah, he'll start outside a corner. Yep, for sure. When I say start, positionally play outside a corner. And then he's shown some nickel flex too, but we'll start him on the outside.
From Reggie, are we going to play more nickel this year with the new additions?
We were over 70 something percent. That was the number one thing we did last year was nickel defense. So, whether, you know, that's all dependent on what the offense puts out there. So it's more of a nickel league. And so it might go up a little bit, but that's where we start. We start with nickel.
And last question I got for you was, what is your 40 time?
Blazing fast, blazing, blazing. Back in the day.
There you go. No numbers. We're not going to give out his numbers, but you should know he can move a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Did you play DB?
I played quarterback and safety in high school. So, you know how high school is, you know, you're kind of running around.
Which one were you better at?
You always want to say quarterback, you know, but it was a little bit better safety.
So is it Joe Burrow, Lou, and Zach Taylor?
I'm not going to go there.
All right. Well, Lou, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time, and hopefully we can have you back on the podcast after training camp, and you can give us some more insights as you guys get ready for what's going to be hopefully another exciting season.
Knock on wood. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.